Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be discussing a subject that I know so many of you are sincerely concerned about, and that's ethics in business. We have a wonderful guest with us today. Her name is Susan Steinbecker. Her publication is the book Heart-Centered Leadership, An Invitation to Lead from the Inside Out. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's very exciting to be with you here today, Donna.
I'm so impressed with the material that you put together in this book. I found, to my dismay, just listening to the news and all of the various things that come out from different interviews about things that are going on multiple levels, whether it's business, whether it's politics, it gets so disheartening and so discouraging. So it's good to know about you and your associate, Joel Bennett, and your interest in bringing to the forefront a better attitude regarding business. Now, you're the founder, president, and CEO of Steinbecker & Associates. You're a leadership consulting firm. You work with companies throughout the country. Joel is the president of Organizational Wellness and Learning Systems, and he likes to help people improve workplaces, their environments, etc.,
right,
and is really into team playing. How did the two of you ever get together?
That's a great question. Actually, I saw him present at a conference, and I thought, wow, for someone who came from a more academic background, he was a fantastic presenter and loved his style, met with him after, and then after some real conversation, I thought, you know, this is a perfect match. I came from more of the business background. He came more from an academic background, and I really felt like to add that much more credibility to this work, it was important to have that take on it and look at all the research that we could drop into this that basically really validates that you can lead in a heart-centered way and be very profitable.
I agree.
Right.
I think that's very true. Both of you have your own perspectives, and as a team in putting this together, this book on leadership isn't just for CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. This
right.
is a book that a coach of a little league team could benefit from.
Absolutely.
It is that kind of an information resource. You state right in the foreword, which I really like, it lies in your ability to stop, go inward, and reflect on the course of action that you know in your heart is the right one rather than succumbing to external pressures and their circumstances. Susan, can you share with us a personal experience and story that really brings, about yourself,
yes,
that really brings this home to my listeners?
Absolutely. I would say early in my career, I was a very young assistant general manager of a hotel, I mean, at the age of 18, and basically when I went through that particular role, I was much younger than the average person in that role. Was actually recruited by a company to come in and work in this position and noticed that there was lots of things going wrong. And I noticed at the time that in that time of my life, I made all the mistakes. I walked in, I decided I was going to shake things up, I was going to make all these changes, I was going to start laying people off, and did not do that in the best possible way. And it dawned on me after that that was absolutely the wrong approach. And what I really needed to do was to focus on engaging associates and motivating associates so that they wanted to work their very best for me and that they would be motivated and empowered. And that was a lesson that I learned, unfortunately, the hard way. And that's why I speak about this, to say, listen, I've been in those shoes when one gets frustrated or angry, and, you know, how do you get productivity out of people? What I really realized is that the way to get the most productivity out of people was to connect with them at a deeper level and treat them as a whole human being as they are and look for ways to inspire them and to help them do their very best work because they're motivated to do their very best work. In other words, make it possible for them to want to work for me versus have to work for me. And as you might imagine, those are very different things.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. You have in your book a statement, associates rarely quit the company.
Mm-hmm.
They more often quit their boss.
Absolutely.
I have had so many people say to me, loyalty does not exist anymore.
Yes.
And I do not agree with that.
I don't agree with that either. I understand where people are coming from because there are certainly different generations that respond differently, the baby boomers versus, let's say, Generation X and now the millennials coming in. The reality, though, is that at the end of the day, all the research that we see and have seen, and even the most research coming out now, is saying the same thing over and over again. It's really not about the money. It's about how they feel working for this individual. And, I mean, we know there are certain cases where there's people that are desperate for income. I understand that. I'm saying in most cases, in most situations, the person will work for that organization, will work for that boss if they feel that they're being treated the right way. And, again, I think if we all think about the best bosses we ever had, if we just think about this person who we would say is the best boss we ever had, and then think about the behaviors that that person demonstrated and the impact that person had on you as a result. You know, the list is always the same when I ask that question of people. It's things like, this boss believed in me, cared about me as a whole human being with a life outside of work, trusted me, empowered me, coached me, taught me, gave me feedback. And that is a list that no matter who I ask, no matter the size of group or the level of position the person it is or the organization, those are the things we hear over and over again. And as a result, the impact they have is that I wanted to work my best for this person. In fact, I'd be crushed if I let them down. Well, you know, as a leader, I don't know what better position you could honestly be in. And that has nothing to do with anything else except for the fact that they want to work their best for that person. And that's the same today as it was 20 years ago.
I agree. That is timeless.
Yes.
It is something that always has been in place. It's always existed,
yes.
And any good leader has always made that a reality that has been at their core.
That's right.
Let's address something that keeps coming out over and over again in media, and that is lying.
Right.
And you make a statement in the book, many executives learn early in their careers that if they want to get to the top, they have to tell some lies along the way.
Right.
Unfortunately, as they've progressed up the corporate ladder, they've grown so accustomed to telling more and more lies that they forget how to be frank and direct with people in general. Why is it that there seems to be this demeanor? It's almost becoming like a cultural demeanor in certain environments where it's okay that you don't tell the truth about something. How do you think that this has evolved? Why? I mean, we've had so much in the way of the breaching of ethics in the business community and on so many levels. It's like, oh, this is okay. What kind of an example is that going to be for the younger generation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's really a couple of things. I think, number one, the executive teams today of many corporations are feeling just unbelievable pressure to perform numbers-wise and very unrealistically, by the way. I mean, the numbers that are being asked for these leaders to produce sometimes are not very realistic. But we sort of had the whole issue of enjoying great return on investments over the years, and so it became expected. So now it's like, well, we want those same kind of returns that we had 10 years ago. So with that in mind, it's like, okay, so now we expect you to produce that, and the pressure that these people are really put under is just unbelievable. So what begins to happen is they, out of fear of losing their job, they start pulling out all the stops in order to meet the numbers, even if it doesn't make a lot of sense long term, but it basically satisfies Wall Street, we'll call it short term. So unfortunately we get locked into this short term mentality, which is very reactionary and non-strategic and doesn't help the business over the long haul. So there's a lack of patience, there's more demand from the stockholders, if you will. So much more pressure that I think what begins to happen is their reasoning gets clouded. It's interesting you say that, though. I was coaching an executive recently, and he basically was going through this exact thing. He's like, you know, Susan, I know how to make the numbers work. That's actually not that difficult. And I said, well, you know, you're right, but here you are with a fork in the road. You can go to the right or you can go to the left. Now, my question to you is, what's gonna have the greatest impact on you personally and professionally, and what do you know in your heart of hearts is the right answer for this business? And he goes, well, the right answer for this business is to do the longer-term strategy and not the short-term, you know, make numbers work, quote-unquote, by cutting and slashing every way you can just to make the numbers work, even though it makes no sense for the business. So I said, well, you truly are at a point where you're going to need to make a decision, and you're going to need to trust that the decision that you know your heart is saying to you is the right one, and hang in there and have the courage that it, and it's going to take that, but have the courage that it's going to take in order to know that you're doing the best for this business long-term. So luckily for this gentleman, he made the right decision, but I think that's what begins to happen. There's like a little bit of a, you know, like the book is saying, a fib here and a fib there, and it's like, okay, well, we got through that, and then unfortunately it begins to dial up more and more, and now this person is so in the hole, they don't even recognize their own behavior anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that is the tragedy. I know of people that have had really tough times with their businesses, or maybe they were a supplier or a manufacturer,
mm-hmm.
and they had to go into their employees and said, this is what's happened, the bottom has fallen out, we're going to all of the executives are taking a cut in pay, mm-hmm. we're going to have to cut your pay, this is something that we're looking at. How do you feel about it? Just being open.
Right.
You know, every single one of those employees said, we're here. They even, when the company was forced to close because part of the supply line just evaporated, it was gone. They went out of business. And so they were stunned. Their employees worked an extra 2 weeks with no pay to try to make sure that the company was able to get as much out of their fire sale, if you will, of everything.
Right.
Those people still go back to the man that owned the company and
yep.
say, I want to work for you. If ever you start something up again, you let me know.
You know, that's exactly the way it does work. And it's trusting that by revealing and telling the truth that it will prevail in the end. That's the rub, right? It's having the courage to say that I know in my heart of heart this is the right thing to do. I need to be open and authentic and tell the truth and trust that people will rise to the occasion. There'll be some that maybe won't follow him, but look at
mm-hmm.
like what you're saying. Look at the number of people that are coming back and are willing to give up a certain amount because he leveled with them and he told the truth. And I've actually had leaders say to me, Susan, they can't handle the truth. And I'm saying, what is it that you don't think they can handle? I don't get that. You know?
I'm with you.
Let's face it.
If a family's going through a difficult time, if dad or mom loses their job,
right.
the whole family needs to know about it and say, well, guess what? We're not going to have the gardener, or we're not going to have this. We're still going to be able to have fun, but let's figure out what we can do. And
exactly.
yeah, there's going to be a big adjustment. Everybody's going to moan and groan, but they'll say, all right, this is what I can do to help. I think that there is an attitude of people too frequently when they get into positions where they assume that the people that are working for them have the intelligence of an ant.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
really,
right. Really. That's
it's
right.
It's ridiculous.
Right. And I say the same. I'll say when I hear the they can't handle the truth, I say, what is it they you don't think they can handle? These are folks that have families like you. They have health issues, family issues, financial issues, home issues, car issues. Just like anybody else, it's not like, you know, they're different than, no one's really different than us, right? We're really all the same at the end of the day. And it really is, getting them to understand that. And that's why there's a proverb that I love to use when we do our workshops on heart center leadership. And what it says is that at the end of the day, the king and the pawn go back in the same box.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is that saying, right? We're really not all that different. Your needs are our needs, which is one of the principles in the book, Heart Center Leadership, and it's really trying to say that we think they can't handle certain things, but do you want to know the truth? Of course you do. You may not like the information, or you may not wish it to be, but the reality is you'll have so much more respect for the leader who was willing to tell you the truth.
Oh, no question.
Right.
At least you know where you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's better than someone all of a sudden handing you a pink slip. Because
yes.
people, I think, today want to know what's going on. And
absolutely.
I've known of companies where when the bosses have finally owned up and they have put things out and they say, this is the situation, this is the challenge, and even ask for input,
yep.
they're amazed sometimes at the resolutions that come about. And they'll go, well, I would never have thought of that. And they say, well, of course not. You're not dealing with XYZ. You're not in that department. You don't know what we've got. But people like being involved. They really like knowing. And I've always said there's no such thing as an insignificant position in any company in life.
Absolutely. Every position is like the spoke of a wheel, and it takes all of those spokes on that wheel for that wheel to turn. And so absolutely right. They can handle truth. They understand. You can simplify a message if you're concerned about that. But the reality is they get when things are good anyway, and they get when things are bad. They can feel it in the air. They can sense the tension in the company. And that's why I also say, do you think they don't really understand that things are not good right now? It's all over the place that things are not good right now. So why not come out and just say, things are not good right now, and here's what we're planning to do about it, and here's where we need your help. That authentic conversation is so badly needed today.
Oh, very much so. We have met the enemy, and they are us. You talk in your book about a retreat that was done for some senior-level executives from a particular organization, and you said you were so surprised at how they would make comments. They won't allow us to move forward here.
Yeah, I
they're not supporting us. Go into that a little bit.
I will. That was such an epiphany for me, because I was leading this executive retreat, off-site retreat for the team, and this was the highest level. There wasn't anybody above them, just so you know. And I was really struck how often I kept hearing comments around the table saying, well, you know, they won't let us do this, or they want that, or this, that. And I finally stopped them, and I said, you know, gentlemen, and I say gentlemen because they just happen to be all gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
I said, gentlemen, I need to understand something. Who is they? Who is they? Because the last time I understood, you guys are it. So is there somebody else that we're not aware of? And they literally stopped and looked at each other as if the light bulb just came off, and they're like, wow, okay. I said, listen, they is you. They is you. And so what does this mean? That means the people seated at this table have all the power in the world to do what this group collectively can actually do. And so the sooner you start realizing that, the faster these situations are going to get resolved. So as simple as that sounds, it you know, it's crazy, right? But the reality is they got so locked into pointing fingers outside of themselves, which was really mainly amongst each other, they didn't realize that collectively as a team, they could solve a lot of the problems with, of course, the help of the associates working closest to the customer. But they were disempowering themselves, which was crazy. And so the good news is they got it, they realized it, and then they started having, again, more of the authentic conversations about where they were not maybe connecting to each other the way they
mm-hmm.
needed to, and supporting each other the way they needed to.
Well, I think that is amazing. Now, you have basically seven principles that
yes.
you like to cover in the book. And part of it, which I found very interesting, was know thyself, don't judge. They need what you need. Letting go, know your impact. Associates have a choice, care for the heart. Let's talk about, for a moment, about people taking care of themselves.
Yes.
The workaholic syndrome, or
right.
more is better, and there are aspects that people go through. You had a woman by the name of Carol
mm-hmm.
that is in your book who was derailing her career. Those are your exact
right.
words. And she had very few interpersonal skills. She was on a team. She just, it was almost like she was trying to be Superwoman, and she had a movie playing in her head that had nothing to do with reality. Tell us about Carol.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This was a person that I was coaching that really was out of her awareness, her lack of, if you would, interpersonal skills. And so she was very, very introverted. And so what was happening is she was going within herself. And she was so inside of herself, she was really not actually able to see what was going on around her. And this is also a part about know thyself, and with that piece as well as know the impact of your words and actions. And this is somebody who I had actually coached to speak at a major conference. This company had acquired several other organizations, and they just grew and grew and grew and grew. And at one point, she was a senior level executive of human resources, and at one point she knew everybody in the company, and then with all the acquisitions, she honestly lost touch of all of that. And then what started to happen is she asked me to coach her to actually speak in front of the company conference, which now is going to be 1,800 people in the room, where she came originally from this company of 300 people in the room. And with that in mind, she asked me to coach her on some speaking skills, which I did. But what I did is I asked her, when the speech is over, what do you want people to say, think, and feel about you? So in other words, begin with the end in mind, as Stephen Covey would say, and then we'll back up and figure out how the presentation should go. So she gives her presentation. Honestly, we went through all of that. She did quite well. And unfortunately, I wish that was the end of the story, because she nailed it when, you know, talking to people in the audience about, did she in fact accomplish the thing she said she wanted to accomplish, which was to be presented as very professional, and that they were in extremely good hands, and was her first introduction to them. Unfortunately, later that evening, there was an awards banquet, and she had a little too much to drink. And she started slurring her words and also, you know, giving the awards plaques to the wrong people and everything else, and it got so bad the CEO had to step in. The problem with this is that, you know, she went for this overall impact of professionalism and extremely good hands, and unfortunately, that evening she blew that. She had it that morning, she lost it that evening. Mm-hmm. So that's how sometimes we turn things on a dime. So she not only lacks some interpersonal skills, but she lacks some foresight to understanding the impact of a leader today. And the truth is, a leader is always, always, always on stage at all times, formally and informally. And that's a tough thing, because we're human. But the reality is that is the truth when we sign up for a leadership role. It's like the fishbowl syndrome, I call it. It's like the goldfish swimming around in the goldfish bowl. And we forget that bowl is glass, right? And so the leader mm-hmm. is the fish. And we're looking through this glass bowl, and we see everything they do and say, and everything they don't do and say is being observed and unfortunately judged. So you're always on stage as a leader, and that's one of the things that we really had to get across.
I think that's an excellent example, and too frequently that is not remembered by
right.
people. And I think you're very true. It's a very true statement. I love one of the stories you have in the book about an old sage about a man who was steering his canoe through a dark fog on a lake one morning. The man couldn't see very far in front of him, but was able to discern some objects from one another. All of a sudden, he saw the shape of a boat, a small dinghy that was headed directly for him. He thought that the person in that boat could not see him. He immediately started waving his arms around wildly and shouted, "Stop! You're headed right for me. Watch out!" And in his frantic haste, the man tipped over his own canoe, landed in the water. He was holding onto his canoe and started screaming at the passing boat, "Who do you think you are, you complete idiot, you?" And just as suddenly as he saw the boat coming, the man, now all wet and upset, realized there was no one at all in the passing dinghy. It apparently had come loose from its moorings and was drifting aimlessly in
right.
the lake.
Right.
Well, I bet you his face was red, and he was glad there was no one out there to see him and hear him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wisdom in that story,
yeah.
and I think that the story about Carol that you shared mm-hmm. has a little bit of a touch with that,
yeah.
but it also addresses something about patience,
yeah.
about being aware, getting things clear, and sometimes we're not able to see what's
yeah.
coming our way.
That's right. Well, I think what also happens, honestly, Donna, really, is we get caught in judgment. In this case, you know, that story also talks about we often judge and don't try to come to understand. We jump to conclusions. We make assumptions that this person's doing this and that to me. And the reality is when we get caught in that judgment, and by the way, some of the symptoms of when you know you're caught in judgment about somebody is complaining a lot about that person. Or the nonverbal cue would be rolling of the eyes or shaking of the head. The problem with being stuck in judgment is that you can't solve anything. And so what happens is you build up a bigger wall between you and this individual. Communication can absolutely not happen because you're stuck in this place of just, I don't like this person, or this person is this, or this person is that, or in the story, how come that person could be possibly doing this? What an idiot, right? and it just turns out that it's just an object sitting there. But we do that all the time, every day, and we're all guilty of this to a certain degree. But if we can just think enough to step back and ask the question, wow, how is it possible that this behavior is happening, instead of, this person's doing this and they know they shouldn't be doing it and I don't like it. See, there's the difference, because if you can step back enough to get some perspective and get inquisitive enough to really ask the question, how is it possible that this person is doing what they're doing? What could, if I was just to hypothesize, what could possibly be happening with this individual that's causing that behavior? And is that really what the issue is here with me and this person, or is there a bigger issue at hand here? So that principle of don't judge or assume instead come to understand speaks to that, because as long as we stay there, we will never solve anything and communication will just get worse. And that's unfortunately the shift that needs to take place, is to get out of that and actually come from a place of being inquisitive and really searching for an understanding. And then once you've made that shift, it's very possible that you begin to get some answers and begin to come to understand, and therefore can actually move that relationship forward.
Your book covers different perspectives regarding profit. We touched on that a little bit. You go into how important it is for someone to take care of their health, which is heart-centered caring. I really think that your book, Heart-Centered Leadership, is such a wonderful grouping of points that can be so easy for anyone, male, female, young, middle age, old, it doesn't make any difference. It is a wonderful grouping of details and points of information that can empower someone, regardless of what position they're in life, whether they are the CEO of a company or they're working with children at the PTA. It doesn't make any difference.
Yes.
This would apply very, very well. Susan, where is your website, or what is your website, where people can go and find out more about this if they're interested?
Absolutely. They can go to Institute of HCL, which stands for Heart Center Leadership, so that's HCL.com. So Institute of HCL.com is our website, and so obviously they can either purchase a book or look into some of the seminars that we have across the country. And then, of course, we do a lot of custom seminars within organizations, too. And, you know, Donna, you really brought up a very good point, because I originally was going to call this heart-centered living, because the principles apply both personally and professionally. But honestly, I'm on a mission to really help corporate America reform. And so I thought, if I can get to some leadership positions in corporate America, then, of course, the domino effect begins to happen. Those folks make decisions that impact many, many, many people's lives. So that's why I chose to go down the leadership cycle, if you would, business-wise. But these seven principles could easily apply both personally and professionally.
You also should consider talking to high school students
that
are going to be going into college.
Yes, and in fact, I what I have been doing is talking to MBA students, because I really am I'm on this mission to make sure we send this message and balance the education out, if you will, to say, listen, I know you're here to learn a whole lot about how to make money, but let me just assure you, there's a whole other side of the equation that's going to really help you be more profitable. And luckily, the MBA schools I've been talking to have been very, very open to this message, and that's a very good thing to see.
Well, I'm so pleased that I've been able to have you on the air. And by the way, for those of you listening, there is an absolutely fabulous story in her book. We don't have time to share it, but it's by Jeff McMullen, who is a motivational speaker and consultant, and it is about Ronald McDonald and how he played that role. It really touches the heart in a very special way. Suzanne Steinbecker, thank you so much for being my guest today. Don't forget to go to her website, www.instituteofhcl.com. Instituteofhcl.com. It's been a real pleasure, and
Absolutely.
Good luck to you.
Thank you
in all
so
of
much,
your
Donna. Appreciate
You're
it
welcome,
very much.
Susan. My
Bye-bye.
Pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, He's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. Hey, give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Telephone number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Yes, you've got all of those telephone lines open and available to you, so give me a buzz if you'd like for me to give you some intuitive insight. Remember, all I need is your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me talk, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything, anybody, any situation that you might be thoughtful about. I'll be happy to help you in any way I can. Just remember, I'm an information resource, and I love to share the skill and talent with you on the air. So 877-876-5227-888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Quick like a bunny, I want to let you know that we're going to be having a meeting regarding nutrition. We're going to be talking about Teresa Tapp's wonderful exercise program, TTAP. We're going to be talking with someone who's been involved with glyconutrients. You hear the ad every day on my show. I'm really into nutrition, and I'm also going to be sharing a lot of information about various authors and publications that I've been able to feature on my daily program. So what I'd like for you to do, if you're interested, if you're in the Washington area, I am going to be presenting this program. It is free. We're going to have a lot of interaction. We've got a wonderful group of people that are going to be here. They'll be sharing their information and their resources as well. So if you would like to know more about it, it's at 7 o'clock this coming Friday evening. Give me a call at my office. That's 800-872-8852, and I will give you the information as to where the meeting is going to be and whatever else you may want to know. So call my office if you're interested in attending that. That's 800-872-8852. That's this Friday evening, and it is going to be in the Tacoma, Washington area. So do give me a call. By the way, I don't know about what it's like in your part of the country or in the world, but here in the Pacific Northwest, having good tires on your vehicle is extremely important. Our weather can change very, very quickly, and I know that not only do tires affect our fuel economy, which is so important to so many of us, well, you want to be sure that you, if you're going to be driving on wet streets, which we've had storms come into the Pacific Northwest, we're getting water, temperatures drop a little bit, depending on what the elevation is that you're in. You could have some ice forming at this time of the year. So you want to be sure that you have the best of the best. Now, Let's take first a point regarding tires. A tire's rolling resistance accounts for about 5% of the fuel a vehicle consumes. So you want to be sure that when you're getting new tires, or if you're going to check out the best tires for your vehicle, you want to know what is going to give you the best result. And you want to find out how it affects your gas mileage. So there are just so many, there's different tires. There's all-season tires. There's all-terrain tires. There's winter tires. But you need to really check them, and you want to be sure that you, again, have the best that you possibly can. Now, California apparently has adopted a tire efficiency standard for tires sold in the state, and the federal government is scheduled to follow suit in 2009 so that you'll have more information on this. But when you're choosing tires, you want to be sure that for your weather environment that you get the best you possibly can. Wet braking. Here in the Pacific Northwest, sometimes we have real, real heavy rains, and when they happen, you've got to allow a lot of distance between yourself and the car. But if you're on cruise control, that's one of the things you need to remember. If it's raining, do not use your cruise control. Keep it off. If you go and you have to stop, you've got such a momentum going. Let's say you're going at 60 miles an hour. You could hydroplane, and you don't want to do that. So be aware. Be cautious. Hey, you're pretty special. We want you around. Give yourself plenty of space. With the weather getting nastier in different parts of the country, I know what it's like here, because it can really be a bear when you have leaves on the road, you've got a slick surface. So check out your tires. Make sure you've got the best for the environment that you're in. Talk to mechanics. Talk to people that really know tires. And make sure that you've got those that are going to have the best grip for the road conditions that you're driving. And snow and ice, hey, maybe you've got to change over to those winter tires pretty soon. So just a little tip on that. Do you like glove stories? Well, I've got one for you. Oh, it's so nice. I just think it's just wonderful. And I'm going to be sharing that with you. Also, I wanted to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up this week. We are going to be talking tomorrow about healthy recipes and ideas. Hey, this is the month of November. We're all getting ready to plan for some of these super spectacular meals that we want to fix. Why? Because we've got friends and family that are coming in. I know with us, we're going to be joining another family. There's this huge group of people, and so I get to fix some dishes that I just absolutely love and take them over. We're sort of going to have like a potluck so that everybody's bringing something. So we're all going to be doing different things because we love food. Well, why not look at food with a different perspective? It can taste good and also be good for you. You don't have to feel like you're deprived. And, you know, this holiday season, you don't need to put on an ounce. And I'll tell you what, with Teresa Tapp's exercise program and with just a little bit of moderation, you don't have to put on an inch around your waist under any circumstances. You can really feel good. So tomorrow we're going to be talking about healthy recipes and ideas with Brenda. And then if you want to fix your place up, what's a better time? Great. This is dark and dingy, depending on what part of the country you're in. If you're in Arizona, you won't recognize this. And I know we've got a caller, but let me finish, and then I'll tell you later about the rest of the guests. But if you can do some designs with your house, hey, Wednesday, we're going to have a dynamic group of people we're going to be talking about. For pennies, pennies, you can upgrade your place. Great stuff. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Hi.
Hello?
Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Ann. I'm calling from Michigan.
Hi, where in Michigan, Ann?
Outside of Detroit.
Great. Well, you can relate to some of the weather changes, I'm sure.
Yes, it's beautiful today. It was almost 70 degrees.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah.
Here where I am, it's pouring outside.
Is it? We had a great Halloween. I can't believe it. I don't remember having a beautiful, warm day like that ever.
Wow.
Yeah, we're really lucky.
Well, you enjoy it while you've got it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Ann, let's get down to business with you. You are a very practical person. But at this moment, when I'm looking at you, it's as if I'm watching a gauge, and your energy level is really low. You feel like you have been tapped out energy-wise. And when I'm looking at this, there is what I would describe as a feeling of an empty tank. It's if I need some time to be able to fill my inner tank of self up and sort of level out. And it really doesn't take you long to do that if you have some time to yourself. And in as much as I'm looking at a pretty heavy schedule for you during the next 6 months, you need to be able to regularly, and this should almost be on a daily basis, closet yourself away. I don't care if you meditate, if you go tap dancing, whatever works for you. You need this just for yourself. I'm getting a burning sensation behind my eyes. I think you might be looking at a computer screen or doing some detailed work, and the eyes are getting very fatigued. Let me give you a tip regarding a computer screen. If you don't have plenty of light around you when you're working on your computer, put on sunglasses, because it could be the glare. Find yourself some yellow lens sunglasses and just, or green ones. Try them. You know, try different ones. They don't cost very much. Just go ahead and try it. And you'll notice that you can see clearly, but the eyes relax a little bit more, and it's the glare. That's what you're dealing with. So get yourself some inexpensive colored shades. Try them out. The yellow may work best for you. A pink might be the second option. And that will help you deal with this more comfortably. Try it and give me a call back and let me know how it works. Also, what I'm looking at with you is you're daydreaming too much when you're driving. And I'm looking at you at an intersection, and your peripheral vision is good, but I'm seeing someone coming in from the left, and I think this is a four-way stop that I'm looking at that you are around frequently. You need to move your head and pay attention to every single corner area. You need to pay attention, because if you see this person moving real quickly, they may run that stop sign. So don't move until you know that there's no one else moving around you. Just be cautious. I don't see an accident, and I'm not saying this to predict anything that could be disastrous. I am saying this to make you alert and aware, because you're so preoccupied, your brain is just going 10,000 miles an hour here, and I want to say, be consciously present when you're driving. We're coming into the holiday season, too. More people are going to be out on the road with shopping and doing a lot of stuff, especially around the hours when school is being let out, where there's typically more traffic than normal. Be attentive. Wherever this intersection is, and it looks like it's in a residential area, I want you to pay attention. Do you have a question for me?
Yes. I want to ask my husband. He's actually waiting on two different job opportunities that are coming up, but they've told him there's been a hiring freeze, but he should know this week. They really want to hire him. He's looking to make a change. It's in the sporting good industry, which he's already in now. And just wondering, when is this all going to take place?
Well, I would tell him to just be patient. There is probably going to be more of a time lapse than what he expects. It may not actually open up until after the first of the year. I'd like to encourage him to just be very gracious with these people, and if they schedule another interview with him, that's wonderful, to go for it, but to continue to look for something else. I don't want him to so focus on these two that it's going to create a frustration for him. I don't want him to do that. Because I'm seeing him working. I'm not worried about him not having it.
They already told him, they've already asked him, they already offered him the position, and they're just getting it approved this week from the president of the company.
I would just say relax about the whole thing. Just release it, let it go, and just allow it to be. And I'm not saying that to be flippant. I really mean it. To just focus on this and to absolutely say, if this doesn't happen, gee, now where do we go? Just totally relax about the whole thing. Your husband actually is interested, and I think what's going to happen in about 5 years is that the change that he's going to be going through into the new positioning is going to create something for him in the way of unrest. Within 5 years, he's going to want to graduate into an entirely different environment, but because of his associations, he will have very good support for it. It wouldn't surprise me at all if your husband decides to go into a partnership with another individual that will enable him to to work for himself. And this is going to be a challenge that he will be very ready for. He will be totally experienced enough to be able to do it. And he'll have a lot of satisfaction with it. But your husband is not quite ready for this major step forward, but he's getting there.
Okay.
Okay, Ann, I've got to go, hon. We've got to take a break.
Sure. Thanks.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have a wonderful, wonderful day now. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Hey, when we come back, I've got good things to share with you. But give me a buzz if you want to chat. 877-876-5227. 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website. Go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Nocebo, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-815-9756. We're going to be talking on Thursday about mystery codes from ancient times. Don Parks, this is a man that I've known for a number of years, and he finally has written a book about his research and efforts in the area of understanding the psychic self, and Don is going to be talking about some history, too. So we're going to be discussing that. And then we've got Christine Baker. This is considered one of the finest basketball coaches in the country. Her book is titled Why She Plays the World of Women's Basketball. Great, great gal. I'm really looking forward to having her as a guest. I wanted to share with you a statement by Nelson Mandela. Now, I know you are familiar with his name. He's a civil rights leader. He was a prisoner for 27 years for his anti-apartheid work. He was the co-winner of the 1993 Nobel Peace Prize and was elected South Africa's first freely chosen president. This is a man who just is absolutely a phenomenal living legacy and one of the most gracious people that you will ever find yourself in the company of. And this is something that I found that he had made in the way of a statement that I think is really worthy of sharing. And I'm quoting him directly, "Wounds that cannot be seen are more painful than those that can be seen and cured by a doctor. I learned that to humiliate another person is to make him suffer an unnecessarily cruel fate. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. I felt fear myself more times than I can remember, but I hid it behind a mask of boldness. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers fear. where people of goodwill get together and transcend their differences for the common good, peaceful, and just solutions can be found, even for those problems that seem most intractable. Those words of wisdom I don't think you can add very much to. This is a great man who has walked a walk of life experience I don't think many would want to walk themselves. And in walking his walk, he has come out with a wisdom, a strength of character, and an integrity that speak volume. So I wanted to salute Nelson Mandela because I think that his words are worthy of repeating. Donna Sebo here, 888-876-5227 or 877-876-5227. Got to get my number straight, for heaven's sakes. 888-815-9756. I told you I had a love story today, and I do. I came across this, and it's about a woman by the name of Dawn Kozel. She's from Pennsylvania. This is a woman who, at the age of 24, she was staying at home. Now, for you gals that are single out there, and even for you guys, you ought to listen to this story, because I think it's important for us to realize you never give up hope. Now, most of us would say, if we're a little bit older, it's at 24, good grief, what are you worried about? You got a lot of years ahead of you. But when you're in your 20s and you don't have a companion in your life, you usually feel sort of, well, frustrated. It's a very normal feeling. Well, her mother used to tell her, you won't find the man of your dreams by sitting at home. You just won't have that happen at all. And Dawn said she knew that that was the case, but she said she wasn't interested in going into bars or into clubs. That just wasn't her gig at all. She wasn't one of the swinging singles. She's just a very nice young woman that loved life and enjoyed working, was busy, loved family, but she didn't consider herself especially exciting. Well, a girlfriend of hers called her up one night and said, get yourself dressed. We're going to go on out. And Dawn said, oh, you got to be kidding. I'd rather stay in and rent a movie. Well, her girlfriend wouldn't give up on her. She nagged her until she finally said, okay, come on by and get me. And anyway, the two of them were going to go out to a movie. And they were out driving around. They didn't find anything at the movie theaters that they wanted to see. So they said, okay, didn't find anything at the movie theaters, then let's check out the video stores. Well, as it turned out, Dawn, on the way back home, is driving, and there's a siren that goes off, and the blinking light, you got it, she was speeding. She was pulled over, and there was an unmarked SUV that was parked behind her, and an officer said, you know what, you were going 56 miles an hour in a 40 mile an hour zone. Are you aware of that? And she said, uh-oh, no, I really wasn't aware of it. Well, guess what? She got a ticket. Not only that, she got not only a ticket for speeding, but she got a ticket for not having her inspection sticker up to date. It was on her license. So he said, you can request a hearing if you want, or just send it in. Thank you, have a nice evening. Turned around and walked away. Well, she was so upset with herself, she goes, oh my goodness, look at what I've gotten myself into. Well, she decided she was going to go to court to see if she could beat it. Well, she wasn't expecting the officer to come in, but he came in, and to her surprise, he was not dressed in uniform, he was dressed in plain clothes. And of course, she was pronounced guilty for what happened, and she felt so badly about the whole thing. And the next thing she knows, this officer is standing next to her, and he says, are you okay? She looks at him, and she said, he's cute. Well, she looked at him, and she said, well, they threw the book at me. And he just laughed. He said, well, you were wrong. And she said, yes, I was. Anyway, she gets home, and her mother notices that she's smiling when she's coming through the door. Now, when you go to court, you don't come home smiling when you've lost the case, do you? Well, Dawn was. But she thought, gee, this is really a nice guy. I really like him. I can't explain the feeling. I'd only seen him for about 45 minutes, but there was something special about him. She couldn't figure it out. Well, this particular evening, she and her friend went back to the video store, and they were checking out some romantic comedies when she heard a voice that was very familiar. And it was Carl, the police officer. Now, this time he was in his uniform. And she said, He looked pretty good. Well, they got to chatting, and he said, I'd like to ask you something. He said, I really feel badly about your getting those tickets. Can I take you to dinner? They went out to dinner, and you know what? She found out not only was he a good guy, but she wasn't a home buddy anymore, and she ended up marrying Carl, and they have a wonderful family. So you never know where you're going to find that magic moment. Love can be in a lot of different places and happen under some unusual circumstances. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. See you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.